We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Resh Ayin Gimel. Now, the Sefer HaMidot had entered a whole new subject, Sha'ar HaBitachon. Bitachon. So, Bitachon, having faith in the Creator. What does that mean? So, we had learned the first three chapters, and the first thought the Magid Midovna had shared with us is the idea that Hashem gives us life, and that whatever we have in this world comes from Him, and the idea of Hashgacha Pratit, that Hashem is watching over everything. And then he went on to discuss that if a person thinks about the idea that no one asked him if he should come to the world, if a person thinks about the idea that there's so many things, starting with his own creation, that are out of his own control, so a person can come to the conclusion that, yes, there's a lot that's out of my control, and if I can't have control, then I should put my faith in the one who does have control, because I don't have much of a choice. But then why is it that we don't have bitachon? And he said the first reason why we don't is because Hashem created a world in a manner that He doesn't affect us directly. Meaning, there are what we might call emissaries, or what we might call a system of gears, where you turn one wheel and a bunch of other wheels turn until finally the final wheel turns. And to the layman watching, what he sees is the final gear and the one just before it. He doesn't see the whole system and the big wheel that's shifting everything else. So there's, just like there was trickle-down economics, you guys heard Ronald Reagan, trickle-down economics, right? You give money to the top and it trickles down to the rest. Well, this idea we will develop better in Nachmanides' work that we learn on Friday in the Drashav, the Ramban, Torat Hashem Temima, but there is this concept that Hashem doesn't act directly on a human being. Meaning, let's say Hashem wants a person to be wealthy. So He doesn't make it that, wow, in His house it's going to rain gold, and that's it, now He's wealthy, everything's done. What He does is He finds a way through systems of nature to affect His blessing to the person. So Hashem works through nature. And this is the basic idea of prayer. Like Nachmanides says when he argues against Maimonides, he says, if you don't accept that, then what are you praying for? Nachmanides against Maimonides. He says, if you don't accept that God is involved in what's happening in nature, so then if a person becomes sick, there's no point in praying. Because either he'll live or he'll die, and it depends on the doctor, the medicine, a million things, but nothing to do with God. Because there's a system here. So the idea of prayer, says Nachmanides, is that within this system, sometimes people get better, and sometimes the medicine does work, and sometimes it doesn't work. Well, we believe that's God's hand deciding where it's going to go, and that's why we pray. So, even though it's God's hand, but it is revealed through nature, so the average person looks at nature and says, well, what do you want? That's nature at play. So the first reason that we learned at the end of last semester, the Magid Midovna had said, the first reason why we have a hard time having faith in Hashem is because even when Hashem acts in this world, He doesn't do it in a direct fashion. So our feeling is always, I'm being affected by nature. Yeah?
Just really briefly, what is Rambam's understanding of the purpose of prayer?
Briefly, right. Right, you're entitled to ask the question, and I'm entitled to push you off. It's a good question that deserves a class, not a brief answer. Yes, sorry.
That was my question too. So it was Rambam.
You're saying, how does Maimonides defend his position against Nachmanides? Yes. It's a good question. I'm scared that if I say it in two sentences, you won't understand me.
You just told us which one is right.
Oh no, I can't. You know, I can't call the shots between giants.
You can give the two sentences, and you can say there's a lot of explanations here.
You can stand on both your feet.
You guys want to digress on this for 10 minutes?
We're already confused. We can be confused a little bit.
How many people want to digress on this point for 10 minutes? Okay. There goes our Ein Yaakov class. Okay.
No,
Okay.
I'll
try.
You
can't do justice. We'll try. Okay. There are multiple levels of answers to that question, and I'm going to try to address two of them. There's more, and even those two deserve a lot of thought. They really deserve at least a few classes of introduction before we get to them, and I'm really skipping the introduction, and I'm not sure I'm going to do it justice, so I just want to caution that even if you think you understand what I said, take time to digest it, because it could be misapplied drastically. And a lot of people, most people who hear this concept, the first one we're going to discuss, misapply it. Okay? So, in order to try and preclude that, I'm going to begin with a few introductions. Okay? The tendency of man, and all the more so man of our generation, is to be egocentric. And now that's always been the tendency of man. Man worships God to please himself. I need him, so I worship him. I try to placate him. It's no different than being a pagan. Maybe it's a little different, but at the end of the day, man is self-serving. His first contact with religion is self-serving. And a lot of people never outgrow it. So that's point one. But we have to understand, even if we're not yet there, we have to understand on a true level that that's not the truth. That might be our weakness, and that might be our tendency, but that's not the truth.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that the point of doing the mitzvos is not for me. It's not that God needs it, so it's somewhere in the middle. It's somewhere that Hashem says, you do it, and I have to do it, but it's not, the point of the mitzvot, even though I benefit from it, it's not, the world is not just about me. The truth is, as Maimonides writes in the Yemenite Epistle, in the Geret Teiman, that it's the best type of lifestyle for me in this world. Forget the world to come, in this world. That you want to live the best life, you want to lead a balanced life, you want to lead a rewarding life, that's the way of the Torah. Forget the world to come, in this world. But that still doesn't mean that the whole point of the Torah is for me. Right? I should at least recognize that there's a higher level to aspire to. We discussed that earlier, even in this in the Sefer HaMidot. So point one, it's not all about me. So that's point one. We sometimes have things, we have concepts that can be very misleading. Do tshuva or you'll burn in hell. So am I doing tshuva for God or for me? Wait a second. So there are ideas that really push us in the direction of thought. I'm really doing this for me. Do mitzvot and you'll get the world to come. And we're about to explore another idea, which is very often misunderstood as I'm davening for me. When a person davens, part of what should happen is that the person entering the prayer is different than the person exiting the prayer. If I'm the same person walking in as I am walking out, so then I haven't had an effective tefillah. So when we speak about God shifting from the throne of exacting justice to the throne of mercy through our prayer, the Abarbanel and others going in line with Maimonides' reasoning explain that it's not really God that's shifting, it's me that's shifting in prayer. Now you understand how dangerous that is? Because if I take that concept and I take it simply, then I say, oh, so prayer is all about me, so I could sit and learn Musar instead, I could do a million other things. It's not all about me.
So
I didn't say what it is. I just said what it isn't.
But if Hashem knows what's good for us best, it makes perfect sense that what was good for us before the tefillah, if it was effective, is no longer necessarily good for
Fine.
Us. So therefore, it makes sense that he could change his decision.
Right. Okay. But, you understand what you said is exactly right. The problem is that people take it the next step and say, okay, tefillah is all about me becoming a better person. We didn't say that. We didn't say that.
Changing for him and to make the world hopefully the way it should hopefully.
We said that you asked how tefillah works according to the Rambam, so the Abarbanel takes this complicated route, but what people sometimes will misunderstand and misapply is they'll make it as though, you know, they'll jump from one point to the other point, and then they'll say, okay, so then the point of tefillah is this. No, we didn't say that's the point. We asked how it affects. That's two different questions. Oh, so I don't want to go, that's already an area where it's not exactly delineated, so that would be my interpretation in the Abarbanel.
Okay.
But that's one thought, okay? So that's, we'll add two more thoughts. One is the Medrash tells us we're going to meet up with the patriarchs and matriarchs that are barren, and we meet up with Jonah who's swallowed by a whale. And Chazal often teach us that the reason a person has a problem is because Hashem wants him to communicate with him. So then there can be, according to the Rambam, circumstances where it is because of that. Meaning even though there's a course of nature, but there's also situations where Hashem says, I'm going to give him problems so that he talks to me. Which, in truth, needs a whole other class to discuss, to expand that, the idea that tefillah comes from the word falel, which comes from the word clarity, which goes back to the concept that a person allows himself to lose his clarity, to lose his connection with Hashem, to forget the Creator, to live an immoral life, and tefillah is what's supposed to bring him back to a point of clarity, bring him back to a point of connecting with his Creator, which is a totally different concept than what we thought of tefillah previously. So if tefillah comes from the word falel, which brings a person back to clarity, then this point supplements the previous point. I change out of the tefillah. I will walk away from tefillah a different person. But again, that doesn't mean that's the point of tefillah. Two separate points. And the third point, which is a totally separate point, is Maimonides' position that the idea of hashgacha piratit depends on the person. And so then tefillah for different people can have different purposes. Because different people, so to speak, have a different level of focus from Hashem. And this concept is not exclusive to Maimonides. The commentaries differ. Maimonides claims it's a machlokes tanoim. You have the Medrash that says that every blade of grass has an angel. And then you have differing opinions going through the Tanoim, and Rambam learns it's a Machlokas Tanoim. It's definitely a Machlokas Rishonim. To what level Rishonim are the commentaries prior to the 1500s? Maybe the early 1400s and before that. There's a Machlokas, a disagreement among the Rishonim to what degree Hashem has Ashgacha. And Maimonides is of the opinion that it depends on the person. So then different people's prayer is going to have different reasons. Meaning, if you're on Avraham Avinu's level, so when he talks, Hashem answers. So then his prayer is on one level. And for other people, it's on another level. All of this is not a complete answer. There's much more to be said. We haven't yet touched on Maimonides and Sefer HaMitzvot, Maimonides and Yad HaChazakah. We were just working on Maimonides the philosopher, not Maimonides from a halachic perspective. Just to answer Nachmanides who attacks Maimonides' philosophy. But in truth, this is not a complete answer. This is just the starting point to address what was bothering you. Okay? Okay, and with that, we have not yet begun the Sefer HaMidot, but we'll have to begin the Ezrat Hashem tomorrow night before the Parsha Klis.